You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to another edition of William Hill's Daily Racing Podcast. Ben Barrett back in the presenter's chair again. And today, I'm delighted to say I've been joined by one of William Hill's racing radio pundits for the day, John Babb. John, how are you, sir?
Yeah, very well. Good.
Have you been in good form today? You, Andy Holding and John Gibby. A bit of deja vu. It was the trio again yesterday.
It was, yeah. A bit tricky with certainly Irish jumping. It certainly wouldn't be my game, but we're being guided by the Irish guru, so we're in safe hands.
We're in safe hands. That's good enough for me. John, as we've just alluded to there, a flat racing expert, owner, manager in the Shropshire Wolves Racing Syndicate team, a new podcaster, a Wolverhampton Wanderers fan, and of course, most importantly, a William Hill Racing pundit. I feel like I've been doing a fair few of these daily racing podcasts of late, and they seem to follow a bit of a pattern. Recap the good racing and then chat about what it means for the Cheltenham Festival. However, I feel with you in the hot seat today, it's going to be slightly different. I'm going to dip into the mind of someone who doesn't quite put the festival as high up the pecking order as some others, and their passions lie elsewhere, flat racing being the main thing.
Absolutely, yeah.
But I'm a football guy, so very first, a question on Wolverhampton Wanderers. Are we happy with the season so far?
We're happy with the season. I think one of the, you know, certainly fans are getting a little bit twitchy about the lack of signings.
Okay.
Certainly, we didn't have a lot of success in the summer, barring Pedro Neto, and January we've been promised a really good window, and we've now got to Tuesday the 28th, and we've signed players for the under 23s, which I'm not knocking, because that's really good for the future, but we haven't really done a lot for the first team squad, and the squad is thin, and we've got the Europa League to come, which is, you know, what people are concerned about.
Is it the target then, top six and the Europa League both together would be nice?
Certainly I think the top six, what I would like to avoid as a fan, and I'm sure the club would, is the qualifying for the Europa League and starting early again,
very early,
trying to get into the Europa League directly. I mean, or dare we say mention fourth place and the Champions League spot.
Hey, nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at where we were this time last year and where we finished, a really good run in, if we could have a boost of players, I don't think it'd be impossible.
Okay.
I quite fancy us at United on Saturday.
I think I do too, yeah, actually, point, I think so. Yeah. Very good. Brilliant. Wolves going well. That's what we like to see. I've mentioned also, you're a podcaster yourself, relatively new.
Yeah.
Some of the names and faces in that podcast, a lot of William Hill punters may recognise from the retail service or from the radio team.
Yeah.
Would you like a few seconds of free advertising, sir?
Well, we'll always take a chance, won't we? Yeah, we've launched ourselves as the Odds Crackers podcast, which we spent quite a long time for trying to find a name. I thought it was short, well, one word, catchy. And it was what Sam Turner used to use as he was the Odds Cracker in the Sportsman newspaper, which you may not remember. It didn't last for that long as a competitor with the Racing Post. And that was his sort of name in there as he is Robin Goodfellow in the Daily Mail. He was the Odds Cracker. So we've gone as the Odds Crackers, and we're looking to basically get hopefully a feature guest every week to talk about a sport or something pertinent to that week. And also to cover basically racing and football would be the main sports, and other sporting events that we feel we've got a guest that we can talk about. This week, I mean, it was a toss-up to find somebody to talk about rugby or to talk about the Dublin Festival. The Dublin Festival's pretty massive, really.
It is, seven
grade ones.
Yeah.
And we've got no better than Andy Holding coming to join me and Sam tomorrow, in fact. And then that should be out on Wednesday night, certainly Thursday morning at the latest. It'll be available on Spotify, SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, down as the Odds Crackers podcast. And you'll find us there as a regular podcast every week.
You're going to be sick of the sight of Andy Holding before long. 3 days in a row.
I did say to him, you might as well bring your bags to my house tomorrow and you might as well just stay Thursday and Friday and make the week. So.
Brilliant. Listeners, you'll have to do me a favour. If you're going to download and subscribe to the Odds Crackers podcast, which I don't mind you doing one little bit, please make sure you've also, of course, downloaded and subscribed to this, the William Hill Daily Racing Podcast as well. The world around us is seemingly on a countdown clock to the Cheltenham Festival in March. Here at William Hill HQ, in the broadcast office, we physically have a countdown clock on one of the screens right now.
What, in minutes and seconds?
Minutes and seconds.
Unbelievable.
I know, exactly. We've mentioned that, however, your passion lies in flat racing. At this time of year, do you kind of play the role sitting quietly in the corner, twiddling your thumbs, waiting for something good to happen? Or are you trying to find a little bit of extra value with distracted eyes elsewhere on what the flat action that does happen? Is there a different way of looking at it from your point of view?
There isn't a lot of anti-post markets available on the flat race, unless you're looking at the Derby and whatever, but there's not a lot happening, so they're fairly stagnant markets as regards that until April, really. There is a good all-weather camp a couple of months coming up. Obviously starts this weekend with a couple of listed races at Lingfield. Then you've got the Winter Derby at the end of the month. And a good meeting at Wolverhampton when you've got Lincoln Trial in March. And then all building up towards Good Friday at Lingfield, which obviously a sensational day's race in there. And there's a good, very good card at Chelmsford on the same day on the all-weather. So there's some really good racing to come. The difference being between the two sports is that most weekends around sort of December, January, early Feb, the general flat racing is a lot lower. There's a big jump between the two. You're often looking at horses rated sort of 80 or under, and then you've got like a big jump to this weekend. They only pop in very infrequently, these horses. You're not seeing them, whereas on the jumps virtually every weekend you're seeing top grade racing. So there is a bit of a desert of it. It seems to be either low grade or very occasionally high grade, and there's not much of the in-between racing. Okay. So that's the big difference between the two. But it's nice to see this weekend, as you've touched on, a couple of listed races at Lingfield. Obviously got the Winter Derby Trial with John Gosden bringing global giant you would suspect he's going to bring anyway. He's one of the market leaders, I would suspect. He's favourite for the Winter Derby itself.
Okay.
Made a very big impression at Wolverhampton. He was obviously he'd been a winner at Dundalk previously, so shown his aptitude for it's just a case. He has got a big stride on him. He did take a bit of a while to warm up at Wolverhampton, but he really did do some good numbers in the straight and ran through the line really well. If he handles Lingfield, I think he's going to be a massive runner in the Winter Derby itself. But can you play him? He's only like 2-1.
Yeah.
Gosden's got the key to this race, really, because I mean, he's got Dubai Warrior in the race as well, who's already won round Lingfield. He doesn't obviously feel the need to come for this Winter Derby trial. He can go straight to the Winter Derby itself. It's almost as if he's having two stabs here with two really good horses. Global Giant, if he handles the track, it'll be, is he going to run both of them?
Yeah, imagine.
Or if Global Giant doesn't handle Lingfield, which, you know, not every horse does, he's got Dubai Warrior up his sleeve, so either way he's got the favourite. Unless Bangkok, on his debut on an all-weather surface, suddenly puts in a monumental performance. I don't think he'd probably go past Dubai Warrior, but he'd certainly be up at the forefront. But it'd be a chancy bet for me, Bangkok, on around Lingfield. He's never really struck me that way. So I think really Gosden's got the key to this, but I don't really see an anti-post play, because it's a difficult one. Global Giant, I couldn't back him at 2-1 to win the Winter Derby. I'd rather just probably back him on Saturday to win his race on Saturday, but we haven't got any prices for that at the moment.
No.
We don't know what's declared, but if he's around even money, I think I'd be prepared to back him on Saturday and take the chance that he back up that Wolverhampton. He should be bigger than even money, actually, in fairness. If Bangkok turns up, he should be a little bit better than that. But he certainly made a very big impression at Wolverhampton.
Just to wrap up then, that's the Betway Winter Derby, 22nd of February at Lingfield. And currently we do have anti-post prices for the Winter Derby itself. Global Giant 2-1, Dubai Warrior 9-4, Bangkok 11-2, Extra Elusive 13-2, 9-1 for Via Rosa. Century Dream is a double figure price, as is everything else bar. The race we've alluded to there is on Saturday at Lingfield. We've got a number of good races at Lingfield, actually, and that's the 2:25 race.
Yeah.
We've mentioned that we're hoping that both Bangkok and Global Giant both come together.
Yeah,
that might give us a few clues for future.
It'll make a great race. And then, but I think 1 hour earlier, I think we've got what we've also got is the Cleve Stakes.
We do, 1:45.
The 6 furlong fast. This is a fast track qualifier, and it's a very important fast track qualifier, because what it sees is the return of Catchy to the track, who has not been seen.
22nd of June last seen.
He needs to win this
okay.
to give his trainer the best chance of preparing him for Good Friday, because if he wins this, he's in. So therefore, it takes the pressure off, and he probably wouldn't. I doubt whether he'd run again till Good Friday.
Okay.
If he gets beat, we're either not going to see him maybe again, because I think it's pretty well known that he's had a problem or two, and we've got to February now. He's ready to make his comeback, but there's only unless he went abroad, which is very, very unlikely given the ownership. They don't run their horses abroad, the Lowe's, at all.
Okay,
never have done, or they may have done once and it was a bad experience, therefore they don't want to do it again. There's a fast track qualifier at Shanty. Otherwise, you've got the conditions race at Wolverhampton, and you've got another race back at Lingfield at the end of the month. You know, there's only three races he could run in. He'd have to run in all three of those in order to get to Good Friday. Well, given the trouble preparation, he'd probably be a lot to ask him to go to the Well three times before April. So I think this is a massive race on Saturday. It's almost like a win or bust race for Focacci. He's 7-4-ish, I think. Around that, I think that's around the price he used to win the sprint on all weather on Good Friday.
Okay,
and that's seems quite short when you think his best way of doing it. He's got to win on Saturday first, and I don't think I'd be a player certainly before I saw the draw on Saturday. Because if he gets an outside box, I know Richard Kingscote's brilliant on this horse, can bounce him out, get to the front from any position as he has done in the past from wide draws at Lingfield. But I just think it'll be a case of sit on your hands and watch Catchy's comeback. He's a very exciting horse. It'd be great if he has come back to his best. Everybody enjoys watching Catchy sprinting, I think, because he just bring a lot to the table. But I'd just be a bit wary of him, and I don't think I'd be betting him this weekend. But it is great to see him come back.
A little nudge in the market then for Saturday. Whilst the eyes may be all on Leopardstown, you'll be focusing on Lingfield a little bit more, and Catchy certainly one to keep an eye on, even if we're not necessarily invested. But again,
no.
A couple of long-term form clues, so to speak, for those of us who maybe aren't looking at Leopardstown and whatnot for jumps racing action. Now, we always ask our pundits as well to have a little look at a couple of races tomorrow. We've done that again with you today, yeah. John, and we've got two races at Kempton that we're going to take a look at. Thankfully, we do have betting through already for the Kempton racing. Some of those Lingfield races on Saturday, unfortunately, we don't have a complete set of odds yet through. Please feel free to keep checking williamhill.com and on the app as the week progresses and as things like declarations and whatnot come through. We'll get those priced up for us just as soon as we can. Back to Kempton tomorrow then. The first one we're going to talk about is the 7:15 at Kempton. 7 furlongs here. We've got 10 of them listed. It's a class 5 handicap. And if you don't mind, first, I'll just run through some of the betting. Split Down South is 11-4. Fujera King is 5-1. Champion Brogy, 11-2. Mola Heth is 11-2 as well. Pride of Angels, 13-2. Al Thuraya is 15-2. I think I butchered that name. Camera, much easier, 15-2. De Little Engine, 14-1. Bashik is 18-1. Moongazer, 33-1. Outsider. Is there one or two you'd like to mention in this?
Yeah, there's a couple. Obviously, the one at the head of the market, I think that's a fair price, 11-4.
Okay.
Split Down South. I'd be surprised if you see much bigger. Grace McEntee rides. She knows the horse very well. One on it at Chelmsford, two runs back over 7 furlongs. They went to Kempton last week over 6 furlongs, and the horse was travelling like an absolute dream, but it was well off the pace. And Tony Carroll's horse, Wiley Post, basically got away and got clear 2 out. It was very difficult that day to make ground from the rear on a track that was riding standard to slow, as it often does at this time at Kempton, at this time of the year. But that shorter trip did find the McEntee horse out. It was closing all the way to the line. I think the return to 7 furlongs will help the horse. I don't think Grace McEntee will have the horse quite so far out of its ground this time. Got a decent enough draw in 5. I think it would be incredibly hard to beat. If I had to pick one, you might want to consider, that'd be the Luke Morris horse. He's riding number 9 Champion Brogy for Stan Moore. This is a horse who didn't seem to be going anywhere particularly on the all weather. He's moderate form until he went to Kempton.
Okay.
As soon as he's found this track, he's found a lot of consistency in his form, and he tends to come with a nice run down the middle of the track. Luke's riding really, really well at the moment. He's on a decent run of form. He's just probably a little bit of a notch up in grade for Champion Brogy. I don't particularly fancy our friend Tom Morley's horse, Fujera King, who's still a maiden. I think in my opinion, and it might be Tom's as well, probably wouldn't be one of his best ever buys, this one. But I'll take Split Down South to beat Champion Brogy in the 7:15.
a little bit of a forecast option then as well. Brilliant news. Now we're going to go back in time a little smidge, and we're going to talk about the 4:45 at Kempton for the second race. 1 mile, a Class 5 maiden stakes. Again, I'll run through some of the betting. On for Meal is 9-4 favourite. King of Arms, 11-4. Win O'Clock is 4-1. Surround is 8-1. Glencora, 10s. Dark Schmittar is 12-1. Perfect Outing, 14-1. Windy Cove, 16-1. 33-1 for the final three in the betting. That's Fiat Stoney, Haida Gwaii, and Madame's Girl. And we do actually have a 100-1 outsider of the lot as well in Drakey Boy. We've got 12 to pick from here.
Yeah, we're going to look towards the front of the market here. There's okay. horses with experience. I mean, there's horses I see you put in. I've put in there 8-1 Surround. Look very, very green on debut at Lingfield. Didn't show an awful lot. Now, I know William Haggis's horses can improve, but it's drawn out in 11. It's only 18 days since that debut run. We'll have to come on enormously to get the job done here. King of Arms in the Gosden yard, got cheek pieces on first time. You do always have to be a little bit wary when Gosden puts headgear on any horses first time. He's such a master trainer, and always done very well with headgear. From I think probably something he gained from his American training days, and he's put to good purpose since he's been training here as well. But then we've got the other two, Roger Charlton's horse, Win O'Clock. Again, built on his debut run last year, staying on, catching the eye in fourth place last time. Now got 2/4 to his name for Roger Charlton. Roger's just had been a little bit of a while without a winner, but that wouldn't worry you from a powerful stable. Adam McNamara from the yard, he takes the ride tomorrow. But the one that particularly caught my eye was number 3, On for Meal, from the Amy Murphy yard.
Okay.
Probably a less familiar name to the training ranks than when you're looking down the card and you're seeing Gosden, Charlton, Haggis, Clive Cox, but then you're seeing Amy Murphy. But she's doing really well, particularly with her youngsters. She's getting horses to run really well on debut and, you know, early on in their two-year-old careers. And I think that's a very big tick for a young trainer who can get horses to run well in maidens. Basically trained as raw horses and got them onto the track, and to be able to compete with these people, I think that's a real feather in the cap of Amy Murphy. And On for Meal ran really well at Chelmsford behind Summit Reach, and if it's not tomorrow, I don't think it'll be long before On for Meal is breaking its maiden. But in this race tomorrow, I think it can build on that with a good draw from stall 2, Callum Shepherd on board, around 9-4. Hopefully you get a little bit bigger, because what you might get is the big stable bias in terms of the market. They may well go against the Murphy runner in favour of Gosden, Charlton, etc. Hopefully we'll get a little bit better than 9-4, but On for Meal will be the selection for me.
On for Meal, 9-4 favourite currently at time of recording. We are recording just prior to 3 p.m. So, of course, all odds quoted are subject to change. Well, we've managed to do it. A Cheltenham Festival free podcast. John, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Ben.
Thank you very much.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.